jockey Aaron Greider is going to be participating in this year's Belmont. He's hoping to knock off Exaggerator and everybody else with the maiden Trojan Nation. He's 0-7 coming into the race, could exit 1-8 if Aaron can work his magic later today.
Well, Aaron certainly has magic to work, and he knows a lot about getting horses around there. I've known him since he was an apprentice. He won one of his first races for me on a filly named Jake's Folly back in the day, maiden allowance race at Santa Anita. And we've been friends ever since.
Do you remember that race, Aaron?
I do remember that race, yes. And Jude was always great about giving people a chance, you know, and it was always an honor to become his friend. But just to be around Santa Anita, you know, you're always looking for a chance and an opportunity. This game's about access to opportunities. And Jude always, you know, put his neck out on the line and gave the guys that weren't doing that well an opportunity and said, look, they're as good as anybody else if you give them the right horses. And thank you for that, Jude.
You're welcome.
Well, you're a native of California, right?
Yes,
West Covina?
Yes,
sir. Is that right? Yeah. So it had to be a huge thrill for you to get started and start winning races in your home state.
Oh, I had a blast. And, you know, back then it was just amazing. The jockeys that I was surrounded by with Chris McCarron and Eddie Delahoussie, Gary Stevens and Bill Shoemaker, it just went on and on. Fernando Toro, and, you know, it was just so fun to be around them and learn from them. And then the trainers that were there were, you know, you were in awe when you'd ride for Charlie Whittingham and, you know, Ron McAnally still training and just all the good horses that you had access to. And it was just you know, a great way to learn and a great way to accept the business and learn the ups and downs was from those kind of people.
I have to tell you, I was shocked to learn that you'll be riding in your first Belmont Stakes this afternoon. You've been in so many big races in your career. You've won so many big races. I thought for sure it's Aaron Greider. He's a regular in the Belmont, and I couldn't believe this is your first mountain race.
No, it is. And, you know, I lived here for 10 years and had some very good success while I was here.
Yeah.
But this is my first mountain in the Belmont. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it's such a great race and a lot of history. And your horse, he's unique coming into it. And when was the last time a maiden ran in the Belmont? It's probably been a long time ago.
It's been a long time, I'm sure.
But he's got some representative races on his chart. How do you assess his chances?
Well, you know, it's a mile and a half, which separates a lot of horses. And, you know, people keep talking about there's not much pace, but I think everybody's in the same boat. There is going to be some pace. You know, there's a couple horses that showed a little bit of speed in the Preakness and some of the other races. There's obviously some horses that will take advantage of no pace and try and put themselves a little bit closer. You know, my best chance is to let him run his race, get into stride, and wherever he's at, it's I have to rely on him getting a good trip and his stamina being, you know, the major factor down the lane. You know, you see a lot of horses that, you know, like Smarty Jones, he was the best horse that day, but he got attacked at the half-mile pole from Eddington, and after that he got it from Hard Rock 10 from the 5/8 pole. So he had to run hard, you know, a mile out. So people are going to be looking at Exaggerator and different horses in there. Nobody's going to pay attention to me, just like in the Wood Memorial. You know, it's just about getting the right trip. And, you know, I mean, I applaud Aaron Soans for taking a chance at this. This is where he's wanted to be, and this is why he bred a horse like this, was to be in these classic races. And, you know, if he would have won the Wood Memorial by a nose, nobody would have thought he doesn't belong here. You know, but because he's a maiden, obviously people say, why would you run a maiden in the Belmont or in the Kentucky Derby? But, you know, so be it. He's here, and he represented himself well enough in New York when he ran the Wood that he should take a chance.
Aaron, so often we'll hear this racetrack talked about as being a track that jockeys can get lost on. It's a different configuration, the only mile-and-a-half track in North America. How much different is riding races here at Belmont as opposed to other tracks?
Well, it's so different because you'll see a lot of riders that will let the horses run, you know, going into the turn, and you can win a lot of races like that. I mean, Winning Colors won the Kentucky Derby because Gary Stevens snuck away at the 3.5 furlong pole, 3/8 pole, and opened up and beat 49er by a neck. And, you know, the races can be won in the turn, but they can, here at Belmont, they can also be lost. I mean, Real Quiet won the Derby and the Preakness that way. But going into the turn here, when you allow one to run, you've got 4.5 furlongs, so a little over a half mile, and you'll see them get tired and late. I mean, they go around that turn, they've already gone, you know, a full quarter of a mile. You turn for home, and it's a long stretch. So, you know, it wears on horses. And no matter how good the riders are, they ride the Belmont different, you know, especially going a mile and a half. You will see some horses making middle moves down the backside. A track where it would be a normal mile track, it might be moving into the 5/8 pole. Here it's going to be at the 7/8 pole. You see people shifting their position, doing different things. And, you know, I won the Brooklyn here a couple years back on a horse called Kaleidoscopio.
Yeah.
You know, I was at one point I was about 30 lengths back, and I didn't move on him. I said, my chances, move late, move whenever. If there's no pace, there's no pace. But that's his style of running. And, you know, I'll do the same thing, you know, today in the Belmont. It's going to be whatever my horse, wherever he's comfortable, if it's 8 lengths off it or if it's 15 lengths off of it. If he's good enough, then that's how he's going to win, not chasing into the speed.
Kaleidoscopio's race was one of the most amazing races I ever saw.
Yeah.
I mean, that horse looked like he was going to be hopelessly beaten all the way around the track, basically. And then he came flying at the end. And it's so so unique and so cool to watch. It's a race I'll never forget, even though it wasn't, you know, grade one or, one, you know, fancy horses in there. But what a great race that horse ran that day.
He was so fun to ride because he was a 10-year-old, and I rode him in the Breeders' Cup, and people were laughing at him. Well, when he was training for the Breeders' Cup, he used to gallop, went bareback, and had a bonnet on his head, and, you know, just he looked funny. A lot of times he would refuse to train, and I started getting on him, and I remember Breeders' Cup week, people asking, do you think you have a chance? And I don't usually say I'll win races. I'm not cocky about things, but I felt so confident about him. All week long, I told everybody he's the only single on the card, and he won that day, but here it was an amazing race, but he was just a fun horse to ride, and, you know, it's always fun to come home with a victory, and especially in that type of fashion.
Talking with jockey Aaron Grider, he'll be aboard Longshot and Maiden Trojan Nation in this afternoon's Belmont Stakes. It would be his first win if he can pull it off. Not for Aaron. Well, it would. It would be his first Belmont win, and it would be Trojan Nation's first career win. Aaron, for people like Jude and I and the vast majority of our listeners that have never experienced what it's like to be charging down the stretch on a horse in full flight, like you did with Kaleidoscopio, like you're hoping to do with Trojan Nation. What, describe that feeling. What's it like when you're storming home and you kind of know that, hey, I've got horse and I've got a shot to win this thing?
I've tried for 29 years to explain it, and I've never been able to get close to it because you have to feel it, and I wish everybody could have that experience. It's the rush of it to become one with an animal and be able to have that animal respond to your cues and just know how much work went into it with all the grooms and the exercise riders and the trainers for, you know, a couple of years from the farms. And, you know, it's just everything has to come together that particular day. You know, you're not always on the best horse, but you can make certain moves that make a difference. And, you know, when you know you had something to do with that victory because of different things you did, you're always proud of the things you did and the way you rode. But it's just about being with that animal, and the power underneath you is exhilarating.
Yeah, it's got to be just amazing because jocks, even when they get hurt, they can't wait to get back.
Yeah, Johnny described it as a drug. When I talked to John Velasquez about it, he said that feeling you get, it's like a drug. You just keep wanting more and more.
It is. It's crazy. I mean, like you said, Jude, I mean, we get hurt, and the first thing usually in the hospital is, you know, how long?
Yeah.
You know, you ask the doctors, and, you know, it's like we always come back a little bit sooner, or we try to, because you can't get enough of it. And part of the excitement, I think, is the adrenaline rush of the danger. You know, I mean, we always want to escape it, but it's like you're with so many animals right around you and different riders thinking and the movements you have to make. It is like a drug. It's very addicting.
Aaron, off the racetrack, you're very involved with a charity by the name of thegivingcircle.org, doing some amazing work to help children. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it was founded here when Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana in 2005. And it was just a friend of mine and I that he lives up in Saratoga, and I was living down here. And he said, we've got to do something for the kids in Louisiana. You know, everybody else was sending food and doing things. So we started wondering what we could do and talking to schools and different organizations. And we said, we're going to have a Christmas. So our first thing we did was called the Cajun Christmas. And we ended up getting, you know, I started putting things in my two-car garage, and I couldn't believe how quick that filled up. And then I had to go buy rent storage units, and we ended up getting two semis sent down. Everything, the semis, including the gas and everything else, was donated to us to drive down to Louisiana. And we gave Christmas to over 7,000 children. And, you know, being able to give back and do things with kids and families is something I've always enjoyed doing. You know, I love taking time with the fans. But this was different, to be able to help people that almost seemed helpless, you know, and they didn't know where to go for help. So again, it became something that we wanted more of. We wanted to do more. And, you know, in 2010, it became the Giving Circle. And, you know, we've just done so many things. When Hurricane Sandy hit here on the East Coast, we did a lot of work in Staten Island and New Jersey. And, you know, we've been able to do a lot of things. It's not just about children, but it's helping everybody. We've built homes. We've done different things. And, you know, for the last 7 years, we've been doing stuff over in Africa. So it's been very exciting where it's gone and how it's grown. You know, just people, people surround people that want to help. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing how many volunteers we have now that are going over to Africa in just a couple of weeks. They'll spend 2 weeks over there doing a lot of building. You know, it's just great to see people that come together like that.
Have you been to Africa?
I have not yet. Racing's always been, you know, it's the time of year when racing's always been at its peak. But I do plan on going. You know, obviously I'm getting more time. Or actually, I'm getting less horses, so I it leaves more time. So I will be going here in the next, you know, few trips. But I'm very excited to go, and I am very involved with it.
Yeah, you're building playgrounds, orphanages, schools.
Right. You know, we built the first freshwater well in Uganda, which is amazing. I mean, if you see the way that they live and the water that they have to drink, and, you know, they're sick, and they have, all the children, people have parasites, and we've been able to clean out that water and have fresh water wells for them. And, you know, it's just amazing to see kids that never went to school. And now we have over 500 students. But the amazing thing is at one of the schools we have to see how they are on a playground. You have to teach them how to get on a swing or a slide. They've never seen that. And, you know, we take it for granted. And they've never seen joy and play like we do in America on a daily basis. So now it's fun to see their happiness. And, you know, it's fun when the groups go over there and they document everything, and there's so many videos, and they'll, you know, I sponsor a couple children that help them through school, and, you know, you can do it for $35 a month. And what's great is the children every, you know, couple months make videos, and they'll send them to that family. And, you know, so you get to see the child that you're actually helping and build a relationship with them. So it's a lot of fun.
Do you have kids of your own?
I do. My son's 16 and my daughter will be 14 next month. And they've been very involved in the sponsorship. I put it in their names so that they get to know these children. They'll be about the same age as themselves. And, you know, it's like it opens your eyes as far as, you know, when you think you've got it tough and you talk to children over there, it's been a good lesson for them as well. You know, they don't take it for granted anymore. And, you know, they've wanted to help. And so, you know, it makes me proud that my children have that in their hearts.
When I was coming to the hotel from the train station here a few days ago, my cab driver was from Liberia, and we were talking about Africa and different things. You know, he is very active in charities that he sends money home from the United States, but he was so thankful to live here and to have his kids born here. And when you encounter somebody like that and you realize, you know, how lucky we are, I heard a stat one time that the water in our toilets is cleaner than what 90% of the world drinks. And, you know, when you hear that as an American, it like freaks you
out. Yeah.
You know, but people don't realize, unless you travel, unless you investigate, unless you put yourself on the line to do some of these things, people don't realize, you know, how the rest of the world lives and how difficult it can be for people.
Yeah, we're very fortunate.
Aaron Grider with us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Aaron, if people want to get involved in the charity and they do want to help, and we hope that so many of our listeners do, how do they do it?
Well, you just go to thegivingcircle.org, and right now we're trying to raise some money for a playground. They can go on givingcircle.org. You'll see that you can donate $5, $10, whatever you choose to donate. 100% of what we raise goes straight to everything we do in Uganda, and it'll go, you know, the first – until this playground is paid for, that 100% right now is going towards the playground. Again, I told you we have, you know, 15 people going over there for a couple of weeks. They donate all their time. So you just feel confident that what you give definitely goes directly to the people that you're trying to support. So it's thegivingcircle.org is where you find it all. We appreciate everybody's support.
There you go. And you can learn more by going to that website. Videos, blogs, they have all the about information that you need. Go ahead and check it out. And, of course, you can make your donation right there at thegivingcircle.org. Aaron, really appreciate the time and all the best with the charity. All the best on the racetrack as well. Not just with Trojan Nation, but all your horses. And safe trip every time you get a leg up.
Thank you so much, Jude. It's been a pleasure being with both of you guys. And have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for coming on.